Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It may look like meat, it may taste like meat, but it's not meat. It's a podcast. Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, James.
Hello. Yeah, James Acaster, you mean?
Yeah, I mean James Acaster, but I don't ever
refer to you. Just making sure you were talking to me.
Look, there's no other James in the room. It's just me, Ed Gamble, you, James Acaster, and the great Benito.
Oh, I thought his name was James.
No. Just the great Benito is his real name.
Okay.
Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, the food podcast where we ask a special guest, James.
The favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. And this week, from Los Angeles, California, as in, like, that's where we're recording.
Yeah.
We have got a very special guest, Michael McKean.
So excited to have Michael McKean in the Dream Restaurant. You will, of course, know Michael McKean's work, James.
Oh, he is a hero of mine. This is Spinal Tap. I've gone on record many times in many publications saying it's my favourite comedy film of all time, maybe even just my favourite film of all time.
Well, you're correct. That's an objective truth.
Yeah, I've said it a lot. And I can't believe why Michael McKean... Oh, yeah, you've seen Michael McKean in loads of stuff. He's in Better Call Saul at the minute.
Yeah.
But he, I mean, I don't think... He might even hold the world record for most cameos in TV series history.
Do you think?
Ah, so many great cameos by Michael McKean over the years.
Well, we could ask him about that, but we'll be too busy asking him about his dream restaurant menu. Now, unfortunately, James, even though he is definitely a hero to both of us and had such a wonderful career and is an absolute legend in the game, we will be forced to kick him out of the restaurant if he says a secret ingredient.
Absolutely, Ed. And this week's secret ingredient is...
Goat's milk. Goat's milk. It tastes weird.
Yeah. I think I've had it that much. But
yeah,
I'd
sure.
say, do you know what? We're moving to what everyone's trying to be more, eat less meat now, eat less animal produces.
Yeah.
And milk wise, they're like, let's look at alternatives. Let's not have cow milk anymore. Let's have almond milk, oat milk. Do you know what? If that's the direction we're moving in, let's not carry on drinking goat's milk.
Yeah, I think last one in, first one out. I think goat's milk is out now.
Yep,
I've had it a couple of times before. It's weird. I can't stop thinking of goats when I drink it. It tastes like hay. And no.
Yep. So I can't stop thinking of goats.
If Michael says goat's milk, which feels unlikely, it will be removed from the off-menu restaurant.
Also, big thank you to the Comedy Store in Los Angeles for letting us record there this week. It's a legendary comedy venue.
Yes.
But they also have a studio there, and we're recording, and that's where Michael is coming to meet us.
Yes, absolutely. So, without further ado, you just want to hear the off-menu menu of Michael McKean. Welcome, Michael McKean, to the Dream Restaurant.
Is that where I am? Oh, and the genie has arrived.
Welcome, Michael McKean. We've been expecting you for some time.
He really did. He went right back to the script.
Went right back to the script.
Had a bit of a false start earlier. for the listener.
But I
first
actually,
time ever, my mic hasn't worked.
Yeah. Hmm. But we're back on now, and I actually think the second take was better.
Much better.
Yeah.
Much better.
The sad thing
you
is
know
that
why?
You can't do it as a blooper.
Yeah. We hadn't done it enough times for it to get stale.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just short of stale. Pre-stale.
Yeah, yeah. It was pre-stale, yeah. But like, you know, we can't really show the listeners and go, oh, here's a blooper reel because
no.
You couldn't hear me.
No.
And
yeah.
Neither of us said any bad words or, you
know. No, it was just, yeah, just that was it.
Well, welcome to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure
it's
to have you
beautiful.
Here.
Beautiful, yeah.
Thank you. What can you see in the Dream Restaurant? Because it's all based on what you enjoy in a restaurant, of course.
Well, I'm at least 10 yards from the men's room.
Oh, yes.
when they do that to you, they're telling, it's a message.
Yeah.
Is this all right, sir? Yeah, fine.
But you don't want to be too far.
No,
go, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, but then you know what, you're so close you can smell it.
Yeah. That's right.
Or see everyone's faces as they're going in.
The only trouble is, you know, posted right near the men's room is the Heimlich maneuver chart. Right. So if you're too far from the restaurant, from the men's room, and you're choking, you're dead.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to run back to the men's room.
No one can go back.
No.
Yeah, have a little anyway. Look. Yeah. Have you ever had to do the Heimlich?
Yes, as a matter of fact. When my son was about 6 years old, he decided to eat a hot dog in one bite.
Oh,
and the whole
thing. Yeah, and I grabbed him from behind. I gave him a, you know, he was a tiny kid, you know, so I couldn't give him the whole 9 yards.
Yeah.
And then the guy who was, there was a guy who was there who was working with him, and he said, stick your finger down his throat. No, that can't work. So I stuck my finger down his throat, yanked it out. So it worked out okay.
The whole hot dog came out.
Oh, yeah. It was like there was one bite in it.
Yeah.
And it was a bite that the hot dog would have healed from. It wasn't even that much of a bite.
I mean, if it had come out from the Heimlich maneuver, the idea of an entire hot dog shooting out of a child across the room
would have been funny.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that you'd like to film in slow motion and be able to watch back as it kind of hovers across.
Yeah.
Satisfying flight to it.
Either a spiral or end over end, you know.
Either way.
You'd be happy.
Rewatch that YouTube video.
Yeah. The euphoria of your child not choking on a hot dog also probably matches the euphoria of seeing a hot dog corkscrewing through the air.
There is a very high.
So this is one of our LA episodes, and you were saying to us this is your anniversary of being in LA.
Yeah. And these numbers are going to get frightening, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday was the 50th anniversary of my arrival in Los Angeles. When I came here, I had $800.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, man, this is me. I'll stay here for a couple of weeks. But, when I got off the plane and my friend's wife picked me up in her car and she stuck a joint in my mouth and it was 11 degrees when I left New York and it was 68 degrees here. And I said, I think this is where I live now.
Yeah.
You choked on the joint and she had to give you the Heimlich maneuver.
Yeah.
You see, you're conflating. That's how rumors get started. I didn't eat marijuana back in the day. My first place I lived was not far from here. It was just off the Sunset Strip. It was a street you can't even get to from, you know, most places now. It's just been stored up. Right at the corner of La Cienega and Santa Monica used to be a very famous place called the Tropicana. It was a motel that was owned by a guy named Sandy Koufax, who was a great Dodger pitcher. And he bought this motel, and it had his name on it. And there was the coffee shop was called Duke's at the Tropicana. And my first week there, they said, well, you should go down to Duke's. You get a good sandwich down there, and there's kind of cool people hanging out. So I went down there, and there's Iggy Pop sitting there with no shirt, you know, because in those days, no shirt, no shoes, no problem.
Yeah.
And so I met him. Tom Waits stayed there for like months on end. I never met him then or now, unfortunately. But it was very cool. It was like really a neat thing. And so that was fun.
Because it must be like, since your time here, how much is like dining and restaurants changed and like, has it?
Well, there used to be a place on La Cienega Boulevard. If you go down further south, there was a stretch called Restaurant Row. Now, there's in every city that you'll find those places. But this was really an interesting place. There are still nice restaurants there. There's the Garlic Restaurant, the Stinking Rose. I don't know if you've ever been there before. Places like that. But there was a place called Ollie Hammond's, which was a steak joint, but it was open till 2 in the morning.
Nice.
So it was like this great kind of, we're done here, let's go eat something. There are places like that. And there are a handful of renaissances happen every decade, and it's not really, really my thing. I'm not that kind of foodie who has to go to the same,
right,
to the opening night of a restaurant. I had never even heard the term foodie until someone called me that, and I slapped him. No, it's okay. It's a compliment. It sounded really ignorant.
You did warn us of that when we were talking to you about doing this. Just to let you know, I'm not a foodie.
No.
I can slap people.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. That potential was there. I'm not really. I'm. You know, my tastes are fairly pedestrian. But I like a great specimen of something that I've had before. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
If somebody says, there's a new kind of cake, I'll say, well, all right, I'm in.
I'm on board. Know,
or I've done something different to the chili or the spaghetti sauce, yeah, or whatever.
So that's something you can measure it against.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so.
New kind of cake is a very intriguing sentence to say to someone.
I know. Like. Well, my wife is a big baker. All of my wife and both my daughters are big bakers, and so that's why I have to watch my weight, because if I ate everything they made, it would be...
They're constantly trying to invent new kinds of cake to tempt you.
So we always start with still or sparkling water in the dream restaurant, as all restaurants probably.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make ours.
Yeah, yeah.
We came up with that.
I'd go bubbly, I think.
Yeah,
I'd go sparkling. There's something kind of medicinal about it. You know, it seems like you're kind of cleansing the palate actively rather than just throwing some liquid by it.
Just eroding something on the mouth.
Hopefully.
Before. Yeah, yeah.
I'm all for mouth erosion.
How much of your mouth would you erode in one go if you could?
I don't know. You're asking an old harmonica player, of course, which is... That is the audible mouth erosion, is harmonica players.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You're just wearing it away with every solo.
Yeah. Do you know John Popper? You know who that is?
No.
He's the guy that sung Run Around by Blues Traveler.
Oh, maybe I have heard
it's
that.
It's a really cool song. Yeah. Great harmonica playing. He's like the best guitar player, the best harmonica player alive, I think.
Yeah.
And I met him a couple of times, worked with him a couple of times, and he's a great guy. But he has a mouth. You look at him, he's this big guy. You know, he's got a great big face and this little bitty mouth. It's like a medical instrument or something, you know, because he can find each of those individual holes and just turn them inside out. You know?
Yeah.
It's just great. I was never good, you know.
Right.
I do play harmonica a little bit in Breeders, which is on FX here and on Sky
in the UK. Yeah.
With Daisy Haggard and Martin Freeman, and it's
awesome.
It's good, yeah.
Are you
Simon Blackwell?
Oh yeah,
was wrote on it, yeah.
Oh,
writer,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you often trying to
Chris
find
Addison?
Ways of putting your musical talents into different roles?
No. What happened was, started on a show called Laverne and Shirley. It was my first TV stuff, and my character played the guitar. We were always trying to get this rock and roll band started in the story. So knowing that I can do that and play guitar and stuff, people kept saying, well, here, you can do this, and maybe your character plays the guitar. So if you can, or maybe he writes songs or something. And it's like, it's not the thing you can kind of fold into what you're doing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of times, I mean, after Spinal Tap, people wanted me to play that, you know, shell-shocked, aging rocker, you know? And I just, you got to say no to those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like someone who is built like me and has my hair color must not respond when they ask you to play Trump.
Yeah.
Because then your life is going to be that. You might as well have it tattooed on your friggin' forehead.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been offered three different, kind of straight ahead acting.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's creepy.
I mean, part of you must think, just make that hay while the sun shines. All those
They ain't that much hay. In Kansas, there isn't that much hay. Anyway.
So you're going sparkling water.
Go sparkling water, yeah. Cleanse the palate.
A bit of mouth erosion to help the harmonics.
Mouth erosion, right. Cold.
Yeah, yeah, cold. Not like a nice chill to it.
Yeah. Yeah, no ice.
No ice. And no lime and that stuff. That's just lame. Yeah,
the lime is lame. You've always said that. Yeah,
everything becomes a bumper sticker.
Yeah. Papa Dom's or bread?
What?
Papa Dom's or bread? Michael McKean.
Oh, Papa Dom's.
Papa Dom's or bread?
Well, Papa Dom's right now, even though it goes with nothing else I'm going to mention, but I'm trying not to eat so much bread because I am trying to lose a few pounds. So
okay,
yeah.
So you're taking
but I love bread. I love bread. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I have to cancel that. Cancel the Papadums. We're going with Mary Louise's hot rolls. My mother-in-law's cousin, Mary Louise, created these rolls, and we have them on Thanksgiving and on Christmas. And there is nothing better to eat than these rolls.
Wow.
It's crazy. And everybody always says the same thing. You know what? If the turkey collapsed and wasn't edible, these rolls would be fine. If nothing else was on this table, these rolls, because they're that good.
Wow.
So Mary Louise's hot rolls.
Are they is it like white bread or like?
Yeah, it's like really downy, buttery. They're little folds. They look like ears, you know? Yeah. Nobody in particular's ears, just generic ears. But
she's not there yet where she can design a roll that looks like everyone's ears around the table.
Oh, that.
That would be special
spectacular.
Thanksgiving.
Spectacular. Well, if they were so good that you could recognize yours, that would be amazing.
You wouldn't need place settings. Everyone as far as there is, sits down. Right.
No, so, that's my bread. That's my bread.
Yep. Lovely.
Is it a crusty bread as well? Or is it quite
No, it's real soft, and it's downy and just brilliant.
Yeah. And do you put butter on it?
You can, if you have, no goodness in you. they're delicious on their own. They're very buttery on their own. And the next day, when you got all this turkey laying around, you make these little tiny sandwiches. You make about four of them. They're like little turkey sliders. Uh-huh. And you use that stuff. And then the next day, you can toast them. And, it just gets better and better.
Wow. Shout out to Mary Louise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think if Mary Louise didn't make them one year, she'd lose a lot of friends at Christmas?
She would have lost her home. Mary Louise is going to go right out on her talented ass.
So we come to your starter.
My starter is Kenny Shopson's cashew tomato cream soup.
Mm. Okay.
My friend, the late Gary Goodrow, was a lovely guy, and the only person I know who was in the committee, famous improv group from which came a lot of wonderful people. And he also took a saxophone lesson from Charlie Parker. So this guy had major cred, and he was he was a lovely guy, very funny guy. And he was also the guy, and this is kind of politically incorrect now, but fuck it. He was the guy who said, so many comics do a funny gay character. And we can't really do them just everywhere. There should be a gay bar that's for straight men who do gay characters. I think he had a name for it, but I can't remember. But
I still think that's a...
Yeah, I think that's fine.
It's totally viable.
I don't even feel that's politically correct. No, I feel there's so many straight men who are taking the roles that gay people could have.
Yeah, that's right.
Stick and they should all go in their own bar.
You're saying you can turn this into a revolution rather than just a faux pas.
Yeah.
Gary Goodrow took me... I said, what's a good place to eat around here? He said, okay, well, I'm going to take you to Ken Shopson's restaurant. It's called Shopson's. He says, you're going to like it. It doesn't even look like a restaurant, and it doesn't say restaurant anywhere. It says Shopson's General Store Groceries.
What?
Because that's what it was. It was a little corner store in Greenwich Village. So he took me there, and this menu was insane. The guy who runs the place, Kenny Shopson, was a real amazing character. This big guy, always wore a headband, always had a T-shirt that looked like it hadn't been changed in decades. Is this kitchen much smaller, about half the size of the room we're in. So it was a phone booth. And the menu had something like 300 items on it. And no one knew how he did it, but he came up with this stuff. So I scanned this and I said, oh my God, cashew tomato cream soup. And I had it was like the best soup I'd ever had in my life. Wow. And it had cabbage in it. I don't like cabbage, but it was delicious. It was insane. So I got that every time I went there. Every time I went there. And so it got to be where, Kenny would say, he'd see me come, hey, Mikey, sit down. He'd say, you going to have this soup? I say, yeah, I'm going to have the soup. So one day I ordered the soup, and he says, I'm not going to make it for you. I'm tired of making you the soup. I'm going to make you something else. No, Kenny, I'm going to make you something else. Come, it's freezing outside. I'm going to make you something. I'll make you a turkey sandwich. I said, get a turkey sandwich anywhere. And he says, all right, if it's not the best turkey sandwich you ever had, you don't have to pay for it. It was easily the best turkey sandwich I ever had. This guy was amazing. He wrote a cookbook called Eat Me. gives you an idea of this guy's thing. There was a film made about him called I Like Killing Flies.
I've seen that film. It is incredible.
Kenny, that's
yeah.
my man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kenny died about a year and a half ago and just rocked everybody's world. His kids, who I watched grow up there, they would come in at 3 o'clock and do their homework at the tables. Now Zach and Minda are running the place. Mm-hmm. And Tamara is an author and illustrator, but she comes in, chips in on the weekends and stuff. And it's an amazing place. And there have been four locations, the first one in Morton at Bedford. Then there was one on Carmela Street. And then they moved into the Essex Market, a little tiny corner of the Essex Market, which was pretty decrepit back in the day. And they just built the new Essex Market. And it's amazing. So we went there on Saturday, my wife and I.
Oh, lovely.
And I came in about 2 months after Kenny died. And Zach says, I got something for you. And he comes out with this spoon, this really nice old-fashioned serving spoon, about 100 years old. He says, this is Kenny's favorite spoon. It's yours now.
Oh, wow.
So that lives in my New York apartment now. I'm looking for some way to enshrine it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Kenny was a very important guy to me, and this was the best soup that had ever existed. So
sounds delicious.
I have read that menu online many times.
It's amazing.
I am obsessed with that menu.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's slimmed down. It's about 60 things now.
Yeah.
But they're, Blisters on My Sisters is still very big. There was a thing called the Savannah, which was just this mound of brown stuff on rice. And it was like you didn't want to know what was in it because it was just too delicious. It was it was like that, in Albert Brooks's movie Defending Your Life, mm-hmm. that brown stuff that Rip Torn is eating.
Right. Yeah,
yeah. You wouldn't care for those. It was that thing. It's like, and it's like when you're listening to when you're listening to music that you know everyone else in the room hates. You go, yeah, no. It's you're almost saying this is kind of for people like me.
I understand this.
Yes, yeah. I understand. Oh yeah, Pear Ubu. Yeah. Well, here, Crocus Behemoth left briefly in this. I mean, you get into that shit.
Is the soup still on the menu? Is it one of the items that's
No, there is a really good tomato soup on the menu. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the cashew tomato cream these days now.
I don't think I've heard of a cashew and tomato soup anywhere.
Yeah.
It's crazy good.
Are there like bits of cashew in? Like, is it like...
There are some, whole ones and bits, but they're kind of cooked, so they're almost like a bean, know? And, just comes alive.
Oh, wow. And bits of cabbage as well. So it's like quite a...
Slices of cabbage.
There's quite a lot.
And the cabbage isn't listed in the name either, is it?
So no.
The cabbage was... cabbage, right?
Yes. It was a surprise the first time. I'm not going to like this. But it was really good. Yeah.
And do you want some more of the Christmas rolls, like, held back for the soup?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I would probably abstain until the soup arrived.
Right, yeah.
Then say, bring me that tray of Mary Louise.
Yeah, yeah.
and the head of Alfredo Garcia. I can't say that right. Garcia, that was such a good joke. And I put my foot through a Rembrandt, ladies and gentlemen.
So Ed does a lot of reading of menus online.
Yeah,
that he hasn't
I read more menus than I read books, I'd say.
Can I tell you the saddest menu story?
Yes, please.
My late brother-in-law, bless his heart, he was always looking for a way to make a buck. Mm-hmm. Now, he was a guy, he was a bass player in a band, he was a pro, band collapsed, he started selling cars, and he did very well as a Saab dealer, and for decades he was doing fine. But he really kind of had this thing. He was like, there's a score out there I'm not getting. Da, 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 da. So when I started on TV, he decided that I must know everybody in show business. Mm-hmm. So he told me about a scheme that he had whereby I would contact my famous friends, which must have numbered, five, and contact them and get them to pose for pictures for a calendar that we could sell. And, we'd keep some of the profit. We'd do for charity, of course, but we just, and it was just like to prove that the guy was really going to publish, this calendar and to show he was on the level, not my brother-in-law, but his friend who had this scheme. They sent me a box of books of menus of Long Island restaurants, just Long Island restaurants. And it was kind of stunning. And they were really kind of cool because there was the whole menu just reprinted. So the book cost nothing, cost no one anything in money or anything else to make. But he had addressed them with, like, you know, stick with the post-it notes saying, send this one to Linda Ronstadt. I mean, geez, seriously, it was just amazing.
So you were supposed to send menus to these people to convince them to do this?
Convince them that it will be legitimate when someone contacts them to pose for a calendar.
They had the means to print.
That's right, exactly. Yeah.
A calendar is basically a menu of days.
Yes, that's right. So, like, just... And those things sat in that garage until we moved. Yeah. So.
Ed would love them, though.
I would read that. That's the perfect coffee table book for me.
I don't think I can find you a copy. I'm sorry.
Linda Ronstadt's got hers.
Clearly.
She's
still trying to decide what to order.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
So your main course.
Well, okay. This goes with pretty much everything. It's a lot more tomato, but which I shouldn't eat because I have arthritis in my joints, and they say don't eat tomatoes. But
is that true? Tomatoes bad for arthritis?
I've heard that. I've heard that, yeah.
Oh, you'd think that'd help.
Yeah.
They're pretty squishy.
You'd think I care, though. And I don't, really.
Are you thinking of it like... You think they help? They're squishy because they like you could actually use them just to exercise the hands.
Yeah, you could do that, or you could grease up the joints
like
a little
stress
bit.
Ball.
Yeah.
I think Michael's talking about eating them rather than.
But now I'm thinking about squeezing them.
Yeah.
The power of suggestion. Yeah. No, I have to go with my wife's chili. I love a really good chili. She is from Texas, but it's not particularly a Texas chili. It's just a really good turkey chili with kidney beans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly where she got the recipe originally, but I'll put them online. I'll put them on Twitter, you know. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a threat. I'll do this. I'll stand up to you. Not in my house. Not in my house. Not in my kids. but it's really, it's a stunning chili. And you can have it over rice or you can have it just on its own. She also makes, and this would be a kind of either or with Mary Louise's hot rolls. She makes the cornbread, which is as good as any cornbread that's ever been made.
Right.
And she's recently, in the past year or so, she's found out that she's gluten intolerant. So she's no gluten anymore. Mm-hmm. So she finds these alternatives, which are better.
Right.
So the way that she makes her cornbread now is different than the way she used to make it with wheat flour and the cornmeal. And it's better. It's like, it's brilliant. And it's not sweet, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people put sugar in cornbread, and it's wrong. But anyway, she it's great with the chili. With Mary Louise's hot rolls, that would be too much.
Right.
Be too much pleasure.
Yeah.
The most English thing I ever read, and I've read the Pickwick Papers, there was a jar of blueberry preserves that we had gotten an import from England, and it says in rather stern letters at the bottom of the list of ingredients, a pleasure food, use sparingly.
It is a pleasure food.
You can't have too much pleasure in your life.
You can't chug a lug blueberry preserves.
We put that warning before our podcast.
Yeah.
Every episode.
A pleasure listen.
I've noticed a running theme in each of your, in the bread and your stories about kind of shop sins and also the chili, is turkey.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had as turkey a heavy episode.
Yeah.
This is the most turkey. And we've done Christmas episodes.
Yeah. There's turkey in every anecdote so far.
Turkey's popping up a lot. Is this your favorite meat?
It's a meat that does really well with me, I think. Mm. And when I got married, my second marriage, which is now in going into its 22nd year pretty soon. I realized that the red meat was kind of out. We weren't eating a lot of red meat just because, you know, of our hearts and all that stuff. So the synonym for doing a gig for the money became bringing home the turkey bacon, which we still use, even though we eat all kinds of stuff. But she just makes a turkey chili because it's lighter and slightly better for you. Her beef chili is insane. Mm-hmm. Her beef and pork chili, amazing.
Right.
But there's something about her turkey chili that just hits on all cylinders. Yeah. It's just awesome.
So that is the top one. If you were like the judge at a county fair.
Yeah.
And all three were there.
Yeah, yeah. And I've eaten chili at county fairs. There was a Catholic girls' school down the street. I know, everyone's... Now what? Hollywood Catholic girls' school. In their parking lot, they would have a chili cook-off. And I had some really, really good chili there every year. Mm-hmm. And once there was one down near in Malibu, just beyond the sea. And I had rattlesnake chili.
Wow.
Which was pretty good. But the thing is, if you cook any meat dark enough, it's just meat.
It's just meat. It's just texture.
Meat ash,
yeah,
pretty much. But it was a very good chili.
Can you remember anything about the rattlesnake that had a sort of different sort of flavor?
You know, it's hard to separate it from the emotion I felt.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm tasting something interesting and unique, but more I'm going to tell people.
Yeah.
Maybe on the radio or if they have something better than radio.
Yeah.
With a rattlesnake chili, when they serve it out, is it like good luck if you get the rattle?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the king baby. You know about the king baby?
We've only found out about king cakes and king babies this trip.
Yeah.
Really?
We only just learned about this and still can't really wrap our heads around it. It's good to hear you say it because I thought the first person was winding us up, was having a little bit of a...
No, we have in the silverware drawer, in the back of the silverware drawer, we have the little baby waiting there.
You got it there.
She's only made the king cake maybe once or twice.
Right.
But Southern people know about this stuff. Do you know about black-eyed peas on New Year's Day?
No.
You're supposed to eat black-eyed peas on New Year's Day.
And do you listen to the black-eyed peas at the same time?
You can.
Yeah.
Certainly you can. What's the name of that guy? There's the other guy, the other singer, who doesn't really seem to do much.
Will I Am?
Not Will
no,
I
no,
Am.
No, no, Will I Am is like a creative guy. There's another guy who's like...
Who's in the Black Eyed Peas?
Yeah, he was just arrested for loitering in front of a band. But now I'm in the Comedy Store. Don't you get it? I have to haul out this old crap. The only other time I was in this building was to meet the Smothers Brothers. Seriously. I came here to meet the Smothers Brothers. Yeah. No, wait a minute. I saw Richard Belzer here one night.
Yeah.
Do you know Belzer?
I don't think I know.
No, I don't think I know.
Just find some YouTube on Richard Belzer,
yeah.
Especially
yeah.
70s, 80s. Guy was red hot. He's an actor too. He's on Law and Order. Mm-hmm. He was on Homicide.
A lot of murder shows.
Yeah. As a kind of straight actor, but very, very funny man.
Did you ever get to do a cameo on one of those like Law and Order, like CSI kind of shows?
I was in two episodes of Law and Order and one of Special Victims Unit.
Wow, bringing home the turkey bacon.
Real gigs. Yeah. Well, the first time, it was actually a part, they were parts written for my wife and myself. Her friend, Lynn Mamet, was a writer on the show for a couple of seasons. And so she wrote this episode for the two of us. And we play this celebrity kind of self-help guru type couple who are, of course, homicidal. Terrible. And we are the most evil couple in New York. And my wife, I'm proud to say, is much more evil than I am in real life and in the show. Yeah, so I've actually done that stuff. Yeah.
Oh, because you've done that, do you think you could now solve a murder?
No. In one case, I was the guy who'd done it. Another case, I was just an asshole who, you know, kind of made it happen. And the third time, I was a child molester, so I don't know. No.
Oh, yeah?
I wasn't the guy who said, we're done here, counselor.
I tell you what.
That's a bittersweet casting, isn't it, for any actor?
You're I know.
I like the work, but you came straight to me. I didn't have to do an audition.
Also, like, what an absolute slam on Trump that you've taken those parts.
That's right.
I played a child molester, sure, and I'll do it again. I'm never playing that guy. There's no way. People would think wrong things about me. Yeah.
When you say, like, that it's not a Texas chili, what is a Texas chili? What's the difference with a Texas chili?
Well, Texas chili is sort of competitive.
Right,
where
okay.
you shorten the time between the tasting and the trip to the bathroom is basically it. Because there are certain chilies that are sort of prohibitively hot.
Right.
And they're doing it. It's that kind of muscle flexing, you know. Mm. Cracking walnuts with your ass is the way Sam Peckinpah used to put this kind of behavior. You know, it's like being more macho than the next guy.
We went to a taco place last night and I ordered the spiciest taco on menu and the lady working at the counter went, no, you don't want that.
Told him not to.
Told me not to. And I followed what she said.
Where was the place?
So it's a place called Guisados. It's on Santa Monica. It's just like you just go and order at the counter and then bring it back. But it's based on more like stew based tacos. So
Yeah.
Really, really delicious stuff. But the chili Torreados was banned for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
She said that. We just put that up there for a joke.
Yeah.
Well, last time I was in London, I stayed around the corner from this little place, which was probably called Taj Mahal, because most of them are. And I went. It was really, really nice. And I wound up going there a lot. But the first time I went there, it was a similar situation. I said, this lamb vindaloo here. And he said, oh, okay, how spicy do you want? I said, hit me, you know, do no. I said, no, listen, I think I can take it. You know, and it really was way too much.
Yeah.
And so the next time I came in there, I went a little milder, and it was really, really delicious place. And there was an American couple who knew me from TV, and they sat down. They said, we all said hello and all that stuff. And I heard them ordering, and I heard the guy doing what I did.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, you ordered the vindaloo, huh? He said, yeah. I said, okay, it's a couple of stops past my station. But it might work for you. And I didn't stick around to see what happened.
How many walnuts did you crack that night? Whole bag of them?
Oh, man, I could have, yeah. From across the room.
Because you seem to like spice, but not like...
Yeah, I do.
But when it's appropriate.
Yeah, and there was a chili that I had at the Ivy, the famous, you know, very she celebrity-heavy Ivy in L.A. I know there's one in, the one in London serves cool stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But the Ivy here is like, you know, it's all right. It's fine. I just don't go there. But I had a chili there that was too much for me. And it was because it tasted like Thai food. It wasn't, it was that kind of spices, really hot, kind of okay, but not chili at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not that thing.
I will make chili on a regular basis at home and always make it too spicy for my fiance. And she's just like, she won't have it because, because even when I try to not make it spicy, I then go into the zone when I'm cooking it where smoked paprika, cayenne, chili
cayenne.
Powder.
It's your cayenne that gets you. Yeah. So we have that over rice or just in a bowl and the cornbread or, boy, now in my dream restaurant, it's Mary Louise's hot rolls.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can definitely like, with this chili, have some cornbread with it.
Oh, okay.
I won't even count that as your side dish.
Yeah, that's good. That goes with it.
I think that's fine to kind of like have all that together. And your wife's made it all, so it comes from the same kitchen.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Also, all of your dishes so far have memories connected with one person. So,
sure.
So within the title, it's Mary Louise's hot rolls, Kenny Shopson's soup. And then your wife's chili.
Annette O'Toole's chili.
Yeah.
Well, should I have one that's kind of more freestanding for my side dish? Because I don't really...
Oh, no. If you want to keep it rolling with the...
I don't
Ronald
really...
McDonald's fries.
Could a salad be a side dish?
Yeah.
If it's your dream side dish, if it's the best one.
Yeah, it's troubling. Our daughter Anna is the salad queen, and she's kind of brilliant at it. And it's always different. It's always something she's kind of like ad-libbing, and it's always brilliant, you know. I've had pear salads that I've loved. I love a caprese with the tomato and the buffalo mozzarella.
Yeah.
And my wife has pointed out, when I talk about lunch, I become Jewish. And when I talk about dinner, I become Italian. So what'd you have for lunch? We had the tuna. It was bad. It was not good. But... And then at night, it's all hand gestures.
Yeah. Lovely.
The side dishes, because I love a good potato, a little baked potato and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I really should have something that's more green and leafy. I had a pear salad one time, which was fabulous. It had walnuts on it, which I can't eat.
Right.
So I shook the walnuts off. It's the only thing I'm really allergic to. And I'm not terribly allergic. It just gives me, you know, little holes in the inside of my mouth, which I don't need. Yeah. Can't play the harmonica at all.
Yeah.
No.
Too many holes.
Also, you don't trust how they've been opened and cracked, those walnuts.
No.
You don't want them.
Especially,
You're like, hold on, get them off my plate. I know what
peck
goes
and
on.
Peck and paw
walnuts. Brand name. Inside joke of the century.
So would you, at the dream restaurant, would you like us to put walnuts on and then immediately take them off?
No, but I will have a side of gluten.
Yeah.
If I can.
It's pure gluten.
No, I'd have a nice fresh pear salad, because I do like a fruit. And I love a peach more than anything else, but the pear salads are really kind of something.
What sort of pear are we talking? Because I've had pear salads with those Asian pears before, which are
more crispy, right?
Yeah, really crispy and quite light. And I can't find them anywhere to use them, but it's in restaurants, if I see it on a menu, I go for it straight away.
Yeah, you can't find them at like greengrocers and stuff?
No. The Asian pear hasn't really made it over to the UK.
No, it's not.
We like a heavy British pear.
Yeah.
You bite into it, it's like a jar of jam in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you know the kiwi fruit.
Oh, yeah.
I had the first time I saw a kiwi fruit, it was back during the hippie days, and I was in a food store on Second Avenue in New York, and I picked this up and I said, "What the hell is this?" And this hippie chick was shopping next to me. She goes, "Oh, that's a Moby grape." There's a band called Moby Grape.
Yeah.
That's a Moby Grape. So I've always referred to them as Moby. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. And then soon everyone knew.
It's a nice name for them.
I like it.
Kiwi is kind of like a massive fairy grape.
That's right. That's right.
So that was the first time you saw the outside of a kiwi. Do you remember the first time you saw the inside?
Yes, I do. It was the same day. Because someone had sliced one open to show these idiot New Yorkers what the kiwi fruit was like inside. So there was one kind of sitting on a plate, kind of saying, "Here, check this out."
That's got to blow your mind even more, because the outside's weird, and then you're not expecting that inside.
No, it is like a gigantic green grape,
yeah,
or something, and they're good. Yeah, I'd probably go with that, you know.
So you go with the pear salad, the crispy pear salad.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what else? Because you got pears in there is and lettuce.
Yeah.
But is there, like, any much else going on?
Well, you know what? You can add a little cheese.
Mm.
You can add little squares of something, a Gruyere, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what, you know.
And do you want your salad freestyled by your daughter?
No, actually, she's never made a pear salad, to my knowledge. She's made salad with fruit in it, with little mandarin orange slices and stuff. No, I just got a bee in my bonnet about a pear salad, and I better have one soon.
Yeah.
So is this you now officially telling your daughter you want her to make you a pear salad, right?
Yeah. I'm going to ask her to remember this, to listen to this show.
Yeah.
And when her name comes up, do the rest, Anna.
Yeah. Drop in hints.
So I did a food show on the Cooking Channel for 4 seasons.
Oh.
And it was about food mythology. It's called Food Fact or Fiction. And we, my other daughter, Nell, was a writer on the show. I mean, she and I did a lot of rewriting of stuff, and she was a writer and pitcher and stuff on the show. And Anna is a set decorator and designer. And so it was a real family affair.
That's really, really nice.
Yeah. Had my wife on the show once, as was her mom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what would happen on the food show?
Well, you have to see him. We would say, just things like, is it true that carrots help your night vision?
Right, yeah.
And then they tell the whole story about the Victory Gardens in Britain, when they said, you got to plant, because all the night fighters, they need, you know, your vitamin D that you get in your carrots.
Uh-huh.
So it became kind of a watch. So it's about what's mythology and what's not.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Is it true that chili was invented in a whorehouse? Yes. who really invented the French dip sandwich?
Yeah.
You know, who narrowed it down to 2 restaurants in Los Angeles, you know, and things like that, you know.
The chili thing.
Yeah.
What's the story there?
What do you mean?
Well, how it was.
Oh, I don't remember. Jeez. I did 110 of these things. No. I just remember No, there was some kind of a connection there.
Would you test the things out on the show? Would you? So for the carrots, would you all have a carrot and then turn the light off?
No. I wish we had thought of that. Yeah. No, we had some experts on the show, and we had some, you know, kind of man on the street type tasters and stuff like that. But we'd have people who would, you know, refer to as dessert mavens, and they would, you know, talk about there was a thing called the blackout cake, which I thought was really interesting. And it's just a double chocolate cake with chocolate icing and chocolate inside. It's very, very chocolate cake. And it was called a blackout cake. And it was called that because during World War II, we had blackouts.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite around. I haven't been that long. But where the cities would go dark to prevent, you know, bombers from seeing where they were. Now, you guys took a couple of hits.
Yeah.
You know, and so the blackouts are a very serious thing. But in Brooklyn, New York, where there wasn't as much Nazi activity, unlike now, unfortunately, they just kind of made it part of the campaign.
Right, okay.
When you hear blackout, turn your lights out, all your lights out. And the cities really would go black. And the blackout cake was something you could enjoy even in the dark. Because there was nothing to see, basically. And it's still
really
called
the black. That really is taking it to the extreme, isn't it? It's like you have to eat very dark food.
You can't eat no cauliflower.
Right. Yeah, and don't leave it in the fridge because as soon as you open the door.
Exactly.
Cauliflower is the worst thing to eat in a blackout.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
As soon as you get that cauliflower, you just hear like...
Don't fire till you see the whites of their cauliflower. Originally went.
Also, it's so not worth it, is it?
Yeah.
It's so not worth drawing enemy fire to have a bit of cauliflower. Vanilla ice cream, at least you're going, well, this is delicious. Yeah, this is a lovely last bite for all of us.
Mary Louise's hot rolls. They were yellow.
Imagine, like, you know, the last thing someone ever heard was, anyone want some cream cheese? So we come to your drink, your dream drink.
Yeah, well, I don't drink alcohol because drinking makes me thirsty, if you know what I mean. So I was one of those guys. Yeah, I had to pull the plug on that. I quit actually for 30 years when I was 25. And then 30 years later, I was doing a show on Broadway. And I thought, well, this is great. I mean, I'm a grown up now. All that stuff is behind me. I'll have a little wine with dinner. And then I'll have a little more wine. And then, you know, it kind of started snowballing again. Mm-hmm. And so I quit for good. And so it's been about 15 years since mm-hmm. So anyway, that's why there's no alcohol involved. So I got to say, either a really good root beer, and there are mm-hmm. a lot of really good root beers in the United States. Cap'n Eli, it's really, really good. All the basic brands, your A&W, your Dad's, they're all good. There is a ginger ale made by a company called Sprecher, and I think they're in either Milwaukee or Chicago. I first became acquainted with them in Chicago. But they make a ginger ale that is phenomenal. It's so good. Mm-hmm. It's like food, you know. somehow it's more substantial.
Yeah,
and it's just really, really brilliant.
A drink you have to chew.
Yeah. It's real, real good. So I'd have to say that, you know.
Yeah, Sprecher ginger ale.
Sprecher ginger ale is a really, really good ginger ale.
Also, some people sometimes ask what the difference is between ginger ale and ginger beer.
Oh, it's vast.
They're very different.
It's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised that really good root beer wasn't available more often in London.
Sure.
Well, I've never had root beer, Michael.
A good root beer is really good.
Could you try and describe the taste to me?
Mm. Someone's tried to do this with him before.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult.
Well, there is the sassafras root is one of the roots that's in root beer. There are several. There is a straight sassafras root drink called sarsaparilla.
I've heard of sarsaparilla.
Sarsaparilla is close to root beer. It's a really good root beer. It's kind of foamy because it's brewed rather than just aerated, mm-hmm. you know, because there are, in fact, Sprecher's makes a very tasty root beer soda, but they say root beer flavored soda.
Right,
they don't say it's root beer because it's not. There's something really kind of foamy and creamy about it. The taste is... It's just that kind of that there's the location in your mouth that's kind of unique. It really just, mm-hmm. oh, this is almost sweet, isn't it? Ooh, what the hell is that? You know, it's just, yeah. it's got levels to it.
Okay.
So the sassafras root is really the key to understanding the flavor.
I think so, but there's also pepsin involved,
uh-huh.
which is also a digestive, you know, which kind of helps you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is where the Pepsi and Pepsi Cola comes from, because that has pepsin in it too.
Oh, really?
It's just kind of a little edge to it, yeah.
I didn't know that.
You're learning so much.
Yeah.
Oh, you think you're playing with kids? Yeah.
So a nice ginger ale.
A nice Sprecher's ginger ale. Don't have Sprecher's. I'll go with Werner's. Also, okay. Also very good.
Well, this is the dream restaurant. We can get you Sprecher's.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Don't worry about that.
Cool. Come to your dessert, which is always the one I'm most excited about.
Well, like I say, I live among bakers. And they make amazing desserts. But most of the desserts that I associate with my wife and my daughters and their cooking, it's mostly birthday related.
Yeah.
Because everyone has a go-to cake. And then, but Annette always says, what do you want for your birthday cake? Mm-hmm. So I got to put those aside. You know? And they make great stuff. They make brownies and blondies. My wife makes blondies that are amazing. It's from Amy Sedaris's cookbook.
Oh, wow.
Do you know Amy?
Not personally, but I'm big fans of Amy.
She worked with her 4 days ago on her show.
Yeah.
She is as awesome as you would assume she is.
Great.
Yeah. So she has this book called I Like You, and there's a brownie recipe in there, brownie and a blondie recipe in there that she still uses.
Great.
Sensational.
Blondies, when blondies came along, that was a big thing.
Oh, it was great.
I was a bit cautious.
Sure. Why riff on the brownie? The brownie's a wonderful thing.
It's a great thing. But a blondie is, that's like stealth.
Yeah.
Laura Linney, I did a play with Laura Linney a couple of years ago, and she just referred to them as crack. every Sunday I'd bring a new tray from Annette, who would, when she was in New York with me, she would always make a tray of blondies for the cast. And just, you know, Laura said, this is cracking. But anyway, I have to put all those aside, and I have to go absolutely family-free, except that my daughter did take me to this place. It's a place called Becky's Cafe, and it's in Prospect, Oregon. My daughter was working at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival there, which is kind of the town she grew up in as well. She's my stepdaughter. Yeah, she said, well, you got to try this, the pie here. I said, okay, I'm up for a piece of pie. It was, and there was like maybe 10 choices, and they all looked really, really good. I got a slice of blueberry pie there that literally brought tears to my eyes. I'm not kidding at all.
Wow.
It was really the first bite. It was like, I'd like to be alone with the pie. and I really do. I have thought about that pie.
Yeah.
Just not even when I was hungry. I just, oh yeah, remember that time we transcended mankind for one bite? Oh, it was amazing. So anyway, if you're in Prospect, Oregon, you probably know. If you live there, you probably know about Becky's. But if you're visiting Crater Lake,
yeah,
on the way up or on the way down, you know, check out that blueberry pie.
So we don't really have like in England, that blueberry pie is not really as much of a thing at all.
Yeah, you like sweet pies feel like an American thing.
So I love them when I come here. But this blueberry pie, is it like, is there like whole blueberries in there? And like,
they're kind of stewed. They're kind of like, so it's like a, if it's just right, it kind of keeps its shape.
Yeah.
If it's a little runny, it's still delicious, don't get me wrong. But a really good blueberry pie will kind of hold the wedge, you know, the sides of the wedge.
Yeah, yeah.
It will not push the envelope.
Yeah.
It's just kind of perfect. And Becky's delivered there. There are a couple of really good pie places here. The 4 and 20, which is in the valley, which is across from Gelson's there in the valley, if we're talking food.
Yeah.
And the 4 and 20 has a great, great peach pie. Crazy peach pie. Yeah. Really
a peach pie, not a peach cobbler.
No, but a peach cobbler is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You said peach was your favorite earlier, but it hasn't made an appearance in the menu.
No, but it's my favorite kind of standalone thing.
Yeah.
And there's also something kind of, it's kind of exclusive about it because peaches are only good for about 2 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you got mid-August to early October, really. That's when you get your peaches.
Yeah.
And they're not always great. And there's that thing you got to do. You got to put them, somebody told me this one time, or I read it maybe. It sounds more pretentious, so I probably read it. You take your peaches and you put them in a cushioned bowl.
Okay.
And this was the phrase this person used. You turn them 3 times a day like a sick lover in bed. I thought, my God. You've brought erotic poetry into this. And so I, like an idiot, I did exactly that.
Yeah.
And you take my 3 peaches, and it's like, and I'll be off doing something. I say, yeah, I hope I get home before 6. I got to turn
I turn those sick lovers.
Yeah. And it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
You know, because still you can get a crummy peach.
How do you cushion the bowl?
I just put a towel in it, you know, like a tea towel, kind of wad it up, you know, and kind of make it. So, I mean, you don't have to pamper the things.
You can't buy like a specific cushioned bowl.
It's like a dog bed.
Yeah.
Now there's a $100 idea anyway.
You playing the music, these peaches.
That's right. Like, yeah.
Massaging them and stuff.
Yeah.
Can you remember where you found that out from?
What?
Because I think someone's having you on there, Michael.
It was a pretty sincere piece, I think. Yeah. I just think somebody just kind of went a little while, kind of sat tapping the pencil. I know what, all right.
It sounds like something someone would say in a Christopher Guest film about peaches.
Put them in a cushion bowl and turn them 3 times
like
a day.
Like a sick lover.
Like a sick lover.
That's kind of a Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Yeah,
Catherine O'Hara I love her as much as everybody, and I've known her for a very long time. In Best in Show, we have a scene together where me and my boyfriend are meeting Catherine and Eugene. By my boyfriend, I mean Higgins, of course.
Yes.
Best boyfriend I've ever had.
Yeah. The two of you still hang out in that gay bar for actors?
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the way we used to refer to our relationship in that film is, he's the kite, I'm the string.
He's the responsible
adult with his feet on the ground. But he's an amazing guy. One of the greatest improvisers ever, and like brainy and brilliant. And he's one of those guys who can say, I'll take anyone, you make amazing harmonies. You know, because he did all the vocal arrangements for the new Main Street Singers and stuff. Mm. But he's such a fascist about it. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, he's working with these people, and he's just, the veins are standing on his forehead. He takes it very seriously. But that's how it got good.
Yeah.
And he's also the silliest man who ever lived, so it all evens out.
It's a new Main Street Singers song that I don't think even made it into the movie that I listened to just over and over again without any... I wasn't doing it for a joke.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it about the Good Book, Do What the Good Book Tells
song.
You to.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
Book song. I used to listen to it all the time. Yeah. I thought it was so good. And his parts when he was... the expression that he put into his solo parts, he was telling the Bible stories.
Yeah.
Very funny.
I wrote that with Harry.
Oh.
Harry Shearer. Yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Catherine O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara, yeah. So we have this scene, and Chris, as he does, he shoots things twice or maybe three times, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of no one ever has to match anything, really, except maybe positioning. So it was me and Higgins meeting Catherine and Eugene. And a guy walks up, as the running gag in the movie, everyone has slept with Catherine's character. So a guy would come up and go, hey! So every take was three takes. And every take, I watched as her skin went bright red. When the guy approached, I said, this woman's a real actress. You know? And she would say something incredibly funny that she didn't say in the last take.
Yeah, yeah.
And she would live the exact scene in the same way, but she'd like, and it was amazing. She would blush on cue.
That's amazing.
Wow. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Not many people can blush on cue.
No.
I don't think that's...
what was it? Mark Twain said, man is the only animal who blushes or needs to.
So we're going to read back your order and see how you feel about it. So you said sparkling water to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
Then poppadoms or bread, you picked Mary Louise's hot rolls.
Yes.
Starter, Kenny Shopson's cashew cream soup.
Mm-hmm.
Main course, your wife's chili with some cornbread. Side dish, a fresh pear salad. You'd like some Sprecher's ginger ale. And dessert, Becky's Cafe's blueberry pie.
That's it. That's it.
Sounds
great.
Delicious.
I would make one correction. It's actually cashew tomato cream soup.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Cashew... Tomato
cream soup. Cream
with
soup.
Surprise cabbage.
With surprise cabbage.
Unintended cabbage. Yeah.
That's a wonderful menu.
Well, good. I'm glad you liked it. And I don't, you know, like I say, I'm not a snob.
Yeah.
You know, my stuff is pretty basic.
No, but you clearly enjoy it and you know where everything's coming from. And that's exactly the sort of thing we like to chat about. Michael, thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant.
Oh, thank you.
There we have it. What a great menu that was, James.
Thank you so much, Michael. What a lovely menu, and thank you even more for not saying goat's milk.
Yes. Thank you, Michael. I never thought I'd say this, but thank you, Michael McKean, for not saying goat's milk.
Really appreciate it. What a lovely menu, lovely stories.
Lovely guy.
Such a personal menu as well. Every dish had someone's name attached to it.
Mary Louise's Hot Rolls.
If you're a True Off Menu fan, and you're listening to this, and you haven't got Mary Louise's hot rolls tattooed on you by now, go and get it done. You're going to go out, if you're a real fan of this podcast, you would go out and you would get your favorite dishes from people's menus tattooed on you in like one big long menu down your arm. And you need to put Mary Louise's hot rolls on your arm immediately.
You said that if you haven't done it by now, why not go and get it done? Yes. Were you suggesting they should have paused at the bread course and gone immediately to get a tattoo?
Yes, and then come back and listen to the rest of it.
Yes.
Yes.
Michael is starring in Breeders, which is a show also starring Martin Freeman and Daisy Haggard. And that show is on Sky in the UK. You can probably get it on Now TV as well. And in the US, it's on FX. So go and check that out. It is absolutely wonderful, written by Simon Blackwell.
Fantastic. That is very good. Very well memorized there, Ed.
Thank you, mate.
At Off Menu Official on Twitter and Instagram if you want more details of our podcast, I guess.
Yes, it's a podcast,
and
yes.
Also, you can go on offmenupodcast.co.uk. That's the website. And there's a page on it, my favourite page, restaurants. And all the restaurants that we mention on the podcast are listed there. You can click on them, takes you to their website. If you're ever going on holiday, perfect. So, you know.
But if you're a bit
Great
worried...
Great Benito will have added some on there.
Yeah, if you're a bit worried that that's out of date, tweet the Great Benito to check.
Yeah, just to check. Just tweet Great Benito and say, sorry, where was that place in Oregon that Michael McKean mentioned? Because I'd like to go and get the dessert there, please.
But thank you very much, Michael McKean. You're a wonderful guest. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Goodbye.
Eat loads. Or, no. Eat. Please eat responsibly.
Leave all that in, right?
Hi, I'm Gina Martin, a campaigner and writer.
And I'm Stevie Martin, I'm a comedian and writer, and also we're sisters.
We are sisters, and yeah. We're doing our new podcast, Might Delete Later. It's a podcast about social media, about going back, looking at your embarrassing ones, things you like, things you don't like, and we're talking to all different types of people.
So many different types of people. We've got writers, we've got comedians. Maybe we'll get a politician.
Maybe okay? We'll get a dog.
Maybe I'll talk to a plant, deal with it.
Who knows?
It's like a little snapshot into people's social media lives.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll make you think more about how you use social media and how you feel about it.
So do subscribe on all of the platforms that you usually get your podcasts on, and visit at Might Delete Later Pod on Instagram, because we're going to be putting up really fun videos and the things that you didn't see in the podcast episode.
Ooh, exciting. Thanks, dudes.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.